United we stand, divided we fall. The city on a hill. That's what I've called the sermon this morning. And there's a fair bit of scripture involved with what I'm sharing this morning. In fact, I'll be reading a fair bit of scripture. I would encourage you, to, if you've got a paper and pen, you might want to jot these down and look at them later. Okay? Also, as you were coming in the door, I did have a sheet of paper with the lyrics of a song on it that I was going to play at the end of the sermon. And I have that there for you to look through and to think about at that time. So I don't really want you to do that now, because I want you to listen. But basically, that's what that piece of paper was for. But following on from last week, really when we were talking about the work that Satan does in trying to unravel what God is doing, we're looking at how Satan attacks the church this week and how we can stand in resistance against that. So, I'm first going to read Ephesians chapter 4. Read the whole chapter. It's a wonderful piece of scripture and it directly addresses this. The Apostle Paul often writes large portions of his letters to the churches in Asia Minor about this very topic because it is so, so important. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and this is about unity in the body. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing when full of love. Living as children of light, with the Lord's authority I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned in Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours, the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. What a wonderful passage of Scripture where God challenges us through the Apostle Paul about holy and righteous living, about living in a way that honours God, about living in a way that then translates to how we honour and we love the people that we live and we work with. And that's us as a church family. And it's so important that we just do that, that we live in our new nature, not in the old sinful nature, that the devil would have tempted us to continue to do so, but in the authority under Jesus Christ, that through His death and resurrection and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we have a new life and a new way of living, a way in which we can encourage and we can build up the church of Jesus Christ. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. We are the local expression of that body of Christ here. And we need to live in a way that is showing what God has done in and through our lives, a position of strength. The devil would love nothing more than to destroy our Christian witness, both individually and corporately as a church. We must not let this happen. We cannot afford to give the devil a foothold. We must stand together with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, in all humility, unified in love for each other and in service to one another and the wider world. Only then can we be the light of the world, the city on the hill that God intends for us to be. It says here in the Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 from the NIV, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is what God has for us to do as a church. We are the city on the hill. We are the light of the world, a light that God has placed in us by His Holy Spirit. We are the ones who are responsible to take the truth and the light, I'm not sure it's up there today, to Tinkham Bay and to this local community and even beyond. Okay, this is what God has charged us with. And to do that, we need to let that light shine before men. How does that light shine before men? We need to be in a place where our church is shining, where our individual lives are shining, and that God can use us effectively in our witness. We need to make sure that we do not allow the devil to destroy or affect that witness. We must stand against him together. The Apostle Paul considered this so important Like I said, he devoted large portions of his epistles to this very topic. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing or fellowship in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." Paul is saying we need to be united and unified as a church, standing together as a beacon of light, as the city on the hill. In mythology, we read about Cadmus, who slew a dragon. Then he took the dragon's teeth and sowed them broadcast in a fertile field. When he returned later, he found that each seed had sprung up into a giant. He was afraid of what they might do to him, so he decided to employ a clever ruse and to cause the giants to fight each other. So what he did is he threw a stone and struck one of the giants on the ear. This giant then thought that another giant had struck him, and so a fight ensued. Soon all the giants were fighting each other, and before long all of them were killed, while Cadmus looked on and laughed. Our churches are full of potential spiritual giants, but Satan often sows discord among its members, and they end up as spiritual pygmies fighting one another. The devil finds it quite amusing when he's able to distract us. He gets our eyes off Jesus and onto ourselves, our circumstances and the flaws in each other. And while we tear shreds off each other, the gospel goes unproclaimed. We couldn't be that stupid, could we? Well, when we harbour unconfessed sin in our lives, when we are easily angered, hurt, and offended, when we are competitive, ambitious, envious, and jealous in our hearts, when we lack forgiveness and understanding toward each other, and there is no love, when we criticise and complain about our leaders, our brothers and sisters, or the activities of the church, and we engage in gossip about them, when we are so full of our own self-importance that we fail to honour and encourage those who are around us, when we lose sight of why we are here and what we should be doing. These are all ways in which the devil attempts to divide the church and nullifies its witness. James 4:7 teaches us to submit to God in humility and to resist the devil so that he will flee. We need to stand on this promise for our church and not allow the devil to sow the seeds of discontent. So how do we resist this devil, and how do we cause him to flee? Well, first of all, we should spend time in the presence of God, worshipping and praying and studying the scripture together. And I said it earlier, after all, a church that prays together stays together. And I'm going to put a little plug in here. Next week, next Friday morning, 9 o'clock at Norman Point, some of the blokes, but we have some ladies that come occasionally as well, we're going to be praying again for that hour from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock at the Point, for this church, for our families, for this community, for the work of God as it spreads throughout the world. And we invite you to join us. Perhaps you can't make it at 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. There are KYB groups and home groups and other prayer meetings, I know, that will be going on. Please consider joining and being part of praying together. If you can't get to a group, set aside the time to spend that time in prayer yourself, okay, and lift up God's people, because we need to be putting on the full armour of God according to Ephesians 6:10-18 and we need to be yielding our weapons of spiritual warfare. And what are they? They are our worship and praise of God. They are our prayer. And they are our knowledge and use of the Word of God. This is what we need to be yielding as our weapons. Secondly, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and the task at hand. Then we won't have time to be tearing strips off each other. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you spend the time doing the things you know you should be doing, you don't have as much time to be doing the things you shouldn't be doing. Okay? Makes sense, doesn't it? Matthew 22:37-39 tells us, what is it that God requires of us? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. Your first responsibility, even as to us as a church, is to worship the Lord your God with all your heart. If each one of us was focused on God in that way, well, then we would see an effective Christian witness through our lives, which would then reflect as an effective Christian witness as a church. And so that's first and foremost is important. What is the task at hand? The Great Commission tells us, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Excuse me. So, love the Lord our God and get on with the job of sharing the gospel and leading people in discipleship to a knowledge of Christ, a living and working knowledge of Christ. Thirdly, we need to clean up our own backyard before we turn our attention to others. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must not be harbouring unconfessed sin. We need to be keeping short accounts with God. We need to be coming to him, if not moment by moment, then at least daily, confessing our sin, acknowledging who he is, all that he has done, acknowledging the forgiveness that he gives us through the death of Jesus Christ, acknowledging the new life that he gives us through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and acknowledge the empowerment and the enablement that he gives us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to be doing this on a regular basis so that we can be clear in our relationship with God, no impediment. Because when we are clear here, it makes better for clear this way as well in our relationships with others. Matthew 7:3-5 says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. God calls us to be holy and righteous as his people. And we must get it right. We must clean up our own backyard first before we should ever consider turning our attention to cleaning up other people's backyards for them. That's between them and God. Okay? A woman left her house and went down to the shopping plaza to do her errands. To her disgust, she found that every shop that she entered had a really bad smell in it. Phew, she said to the checkout girl in the grocery store, it stinks in here. Going next door to the dry cleaners, she frowned about the terrible odour that was there too. She stepped into the bank to make a deposit and found a sewer-like smell, which she complained to the teller about as she cashed a small check. Finally, on returning home, as she removed her shoes at the front door, she discovered that she had stepped in some dog muck earlier in the day and had been carrying the smell around with her everywhere that she went. We need to clean up our own backyard first before we turn our attention to others. Fourthly, we need to understand, we should understand that we are one body, united in Christ, in which no one person is any more important than anyone else, save Christ himself, who is the head of the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 20, tells us that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. I like that verse. God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but one body. Every single one of you are in the family of God, are here in this local community church by God's design. You are where he wants you to be. He has a reason. He has a purpose. He has gifted you. He has allowed you to develop talents. He has given you experiences in your life and a personality that would shape you for the ministry that you have here in this church that he prepared in advance for you to do. You are a vital and an important part of this church. Whether you just put a few chairs away at the end of the service, or whether you have to stand like this in the pulpit and deliver the word, no one of us is more important than anybody else. We each have a part to play. We just may have differing gifts and talents and experiences to share. But all of us are needed. God chooses to use us. He places us in his body where he wants us to be for the purpose that he has for us. Fifthly, in all humility, we should love our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We should not be easily angered or offended, and quick to show understanding and forgiveness. It's very easy to get upset by somebody. If you are of a disposition that you are quite easily offended, you will struggle being part of a group of people, even, yes, the church. It's important that we ask God to build that heart of submission in us that says, yes, people will do things that will hurt and will offend me, but I will choose to love them, and I will choose to forgive them, and I will choose to work past that, because God, I know that you have a higher purpose in them being here, in me being here, and that we are working together for your purposes in this place. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Why? Verse 35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." You know, there are many, many people sitting in this congregation today who are here because they saw the love of God from one Christian to another. It wasn't necessarily a word that was spoken. It wasn't necessarily something they read in a book or on the internet. But what they saw was an act of the love of Jesus of one Christian to another brother or sister, and it challenged them and it transformed their life. because they said, I want part of this. This is what God wants to do through us, brothers and sisters, to love one another. Yes, we are called to love the people in this world, but you know it says that we should especially love the brethren, love our brothers and sisters. Why? Because this is how we show Jesus to the world. We should do nothing out of selfish ambition, Philippians chapter 2, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, we should value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. You know what it says? We have a model. We have an example. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You want to see the ultimate act of humility? Look at what Jesus did for a dying world. A world that did not love him. A world that were his enemies. He still went to a cross in love for this world. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. That's a good one for me. When I want to get upset, the Holy Spirit just reminds me, hey, what about all the things you've done? I've forgiven you. You need to forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. There's that word, unity again. Perfect harmony, unity. The unity of the Spirit of God that binds us together as a church, that makes us strong. Martin Luther reported a story about two mountain goats who met each other on a narrow ledge, just wide enough for one of the goats to pass. On the left there was a sheer cliff, and on the right a very steep wall. The two were facing each other, and it was impossible for them to turn around or even to back up safely. How did they solve their dilemma? Well, if they'd been people, the chances are they would have struggled and probably plunged into the ravine together. But according to Luther, the goats were smarter than that. One of them just lay down and let the other literally walk over the top of them, and then they were both safe. It's a beautiful picture of submission. There are times when we find ourselves at loggerheads with our brothers and sisters in the church. It could be over an issue. It could be over an activity. It could be over something else. You know, God calls us to lay down our weapons, to submit, to say, well, okay, Lord, it's what you want and what you must have, not what I want and what I must have. This is where we submit to one another. We listen to the Holy Spirit and we come to a fruition of God's purpose and plan, not our own. I'm not going to read the whole of this scripture, but there's another great scripture that talks about humble service in the body of Christ. And I would encourage you to read it. It's from Romans chapter 12, right? From verse 3 right through to verse 21. It talks about how God has distributed his gifts amongst the body of Christ. It teaches us about how we should live in love for one another and honour one another. It's another one of those great passages. Overcome evil with good. I love the way it finishes. Do not let evil triumph, but overcome evil with good. The carpenter's tools held a conference in the workshop. Brother Hammer presided. He suggested or several of the people, several of the tools that were there, suggested that Brother Hammer should actually leave because he was too noisy. Well, Brother Hammer replied to that, and he said, "If I have to leave the workshop, Sister Screw must go also. You have to turn her around again and again and again to accomplish anything." Sister Screw then spoke up and said, "I'll leave if you wish, but Brother Plain must leave too. All his work is on the surface and has no depth to it." To this, Brother Plain responded, "Brother Rule will also have to withdraw, for he is always measuring folks up as if he was the only one who was right." Brother Rule retaliated by complaining about Sister Sandpaper. "You ought to leave too, because you're always rough and rubbing people up the wrong way." In the midst of this discussion, the carpenter of Nazareth walked in. He had arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he went to the bench and began to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He employed all the tools in the workshop, and by day's end had finished what he had started to do. And as the master left the workshop, Brother Saw arose and remarked, "Brothers and sisters, I see that all of us are really workers together with the Lord. United we stand, divided we fall. It's as simple as that. By being diligent in these matters that I've raised, we will not give the devil a foothold in our church. We will stand together with Jesus in all humility, united in our love for each other and in our service to one another and the wider world. Come, shine with us, the city on the hill. Be a part of our beacon of truth and light to Tinkham Bay. There are still plenty of vacancies. I want you to ponder your response and think about this. We're going to listen to a song that I've got going to be played on the CD called City on the Hill. And I've given you the lyrics to it so that you can look through it at the same time. Think about this. We are the city on the hill. We are the beacon of light that God calls us to be. We are the unified work of God in this place. And what a blessing it is to be that city on a hill.